Open your Bibles this morning with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've spent several lessons in this chapter 1 and the last few verses of the chapter. And I'd like to read those this morning and a couple other thoughts. You'll see where we're headed. Verses 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And we've looked at several different thoughts here, and these four things that it says in here, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Important things to us as believers and as saved sinners, that those things that Christ is to his people. And it mentions these four things here, and we've looked at them in order some. And today I'd like to look at, and the message title will be and is, "The Lord Our Redeemer." That's the fourth piece in here. Redemption is what he has made unto us. And we're going to look at some other things. I'd like to read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And by just picking these two verses, I don't mean to just take them out of a setting or take them out of other thoughts, but for time and for those thoughts that we did look at, it was necessary in that way. But I'd like to read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 4, actually. It says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And here's Paul speaking to them. And these were people that by his knowledge and by his familiarity with them, knew who these people were. And some important things in here that he's talking about to lead into the rest of the letter here, but as it says here, that in everything you are enriched by him in Christ, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's speaking about here primarily is not those gifts he's talking about, isn't speaking in tongues or healing or those type of things. It's speaking about those gifts and those things that we have in Christ, as it says, we have all things. We have all spiritual blessings in him in heavenly places. And he's says that we shall be confirmed unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, again, as he does... anytime that he's speaking to God's people and the gospel is coming forth from him, the testimony of our Lord is that these things that God's called his people into himself. God has done these things. That he is the one that confirms these things in his people, that we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that everything that we need is furnished to his people. And if you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, they had a few issues that he dealt with. But as he starts out here, and what his intention is, and by God giving him these words, is that they're not a divided people, that they're of Christ, not of Paul or of Crispus or Gaius or others that they kind of gravitated together or apart to, and some to Paul, and he says, we're not divided. This is in all the things we have are in Christ, not in another person. And not to say that those, you know, we're not edified by other people. Obviously we are, but the where we stand in is not of these other ones, and we're not of this preacher or that preacher or the other preacher or teacher. We're of in and of Christ, and as a body, those are not the types of issues that we need to be in, is how to being divided because of these things. And Paul goes on, and like I said, and speaks plain to them a little later about some of the problems. But down here, he's made unto us these things. And wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And each of those things can be opened up as we looked a little bit at them. Can open up. There are only so many words that we have, and we can't really fully explain in words to these things. God reveals himself to us and makes these things so to us. And a little bit at a time that we are given the eyes to understand some of these things that we have in Christ. But these four things are not the only four things. They each contain so much, and they're interwoven they're not standalone, and is all things. He's made unto us wisdom, as we've seen, not physical, fleshly wisdom, but spiritual, and righteousness. That righteousness that we cannot have and do not have except it provided for us. His righteousness. Sanctification, and from we've seen from before the foundation of the world, he had a people that was given to our Lord. And those people set aside are not sanctified as in the thought of being made better all the time. We're in him, we have all we are going to have. Now, outwardly and in the flesh, we've got a little bit of a issue still. We're going to have the flesh with us always. And that part is not sanctified as the world would think. We're not going to reach perfection in any way, shape, or form physically in this life. But the sanctification we have is set apart unto him, and set apart unto him that he is our Redeemer. And we're going to see that. I'm going to read that. A couple of verses to look at that mention this. Isaiah chapter 47. And we're going to be in Isaiah a number of verses and other places, but in Isaiah chapter 47 to start with. Verse 4, it says, speaking of God's people, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. And we Norman went through quite a series of some lessons where the Lord of hosts was mentioned and who that is. And that's one other term for it. He's the Lord of everything there is. He's not just compartmentalized as a Lord in this area or whatever. He is the Lord, and there's no other. And he is the one that is our Redeemer. In chapter 49 of Isaiah and here, start with verse 24 of Isaiah, chapter 49. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty, mighty one of Jacob. The Lord am I am the Lord and thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So the Lord himself is our Redeemer. And then one more in Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." And here, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And he is his people's Redeemer. And the thought and what the meaning of Redeemer is, something that has either been sold, lost, or however is into slavery, into another possession. And to be redeemed has to be redeemed by one that is able. And that's a whole other study, as we looked in Book of Ruth about the kinsman redeemer. Had to be able and fit to do the redeeming. Had to be one that could purchase back that was lost. And the Lord himself is the only one that can do that. In Isaiah 53, and I took a few notes and a few thoughts on Isaiah 53, and I had just about all of Isaiah 53 written down that's having to do with our Redeemer and his redeeming and bearing the sin and the things for his people. In Isaiah 53, and we're not going to read all that. That's another time and devotion and study, and many, many messages have come out of that. But in verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, verse 5, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 9, and we'll look at some of these other thoughts in just a bit in other places. His soul an offering for sin. And 11, by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, made intercession for the transgressors. In the chapter there, the Isaiah 53 describes what was needed and what was done to redeem the church. None of this could be done by any other than the Lord and in no other way. He was the only one that was a fit person to do this, that was able to do this. He was the only one that had to be flesh and blood like his brethren that could redeem. And that sacrifice had to be one that, not like the pictures we see in the Old Testament of the sacrifices that were pictures of what was needed. He was the only one that could provide those things that was needed because of his perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect everything, that he could not only live and do those things that the law demanded and do those things, but he provided all else. He could take on the transgressions of his people. And it said, by his stripes we are healed. And in verse 11, by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And it's not just that he did that, but it says, by his knowledge shall he justify many. His people, as in Corinthians there, where it said he was made those things to us, made redemption to us. He here, as it says, by his knowledge, and it's not just by the little card in the pew that says you know, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for that, and let's, you know, I sign this and it'll take care of it. This, it's not that kind of a knowledge that's speaking of him. It's that that is revealed by God to his people, that he is the one that can do that, shall justify his people. And again, it describes in many hours can be spent on chapter 53 of Isaiah there. Just in Hebrews, we're going to move along. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to be in several places in Hebrews. So, as is said sometimes, keep your finger there. But chapter 2 of Hebrews, in all of Hebrews, it starts out by saying, he spake to us by the fathers and the prophets in time past. And it says, now, in these spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed all things, by whom he also made the worlds. And being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's just as a little bit of a introduction just there of, he starts out by who the Lord himself is, and not just speaking of some that a prophet or some other, but God himself has spoken to us. And it said the express image and brightness of God's person in himself. And then he goes on in the book of Hebrews, as we know, and tells about how much better the reality in Christ redeeming his people is over what they knew as religion and what they knew in the times before, the sacrifices, all the priesthood, a lot of time spent on those things, showing what they meant, what the priesthood was and how they did things, and saying, but here's the true high priest, here's what he has done, and especially here's the true sacrifice offered once for this. These other things were done a lot. The book of Hebrews just by God reveals so much to us about what the Old Testament spoke about, and that that we've seen in much preaching and teaching from the Old Testament over the years, that those things were not just religious duties to do. There was a lot that saw them, and that was what they did do those things. But there were those that God opened their eyes and revealed himself to them, and by his knowledge, they were justified. And we're gonna follow that down a little bit farther. But the book of Hebrews shows how Christ is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer and our justification, our righteousness, his righteousness that we have. And the same thing here that he is our Redeemer. In chapter 2, where we're headed, starting with verse 6 and reading down a bit, verse 5. Chapter 2, Hebrews, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much, verse 14, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And here, quite a piece here again, that any of these can be dwelled on for a long time. But here's then that he is the fit one, and he is the one that was able to, because he took on the seed of Abraham, took on flesh and blood, and that he was made like unto his brethren, except for sin. He knew all things that we know physically. And it says here that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for sins of the people, that in himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. But he is that he was the one that could be. He was that picture of the one that was able to do this. He was like the picture in the Old Testament of the fit man, I believe it said, that took the scapegoat out into the wilderness to release him. And that's a picture of the sins of his people being put away. Romans chapter 4 and keep these in mind, that he has made unto us redemption. Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 20. It says, he staggered not. This is speaking of our Father. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him, to Abraham, as righteousness. Now, if it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and it says here, but not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him for righteousness, but for us also, to whom it shall be, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And that we know by several other passages that belief, if we indeed have that belief, that God has given that by his grace to us, that it's not a faith, is not something that's mustered up of ourself or mustered up of enough evidence seen. Because think of the different ones over the years that saw things that God did, miracles or plagues or whatever, that did not save them because they saw those things. And you'd think you'd see those things that would make a difference, but it does not. Only God's Spirit makes a difference in him opening our eyes and making our Lord those things to us. In going on in Romans chapter 5, and we could obviously read the book of Romans again through here too, like we could Isaiah 53 or the book of Hebrews, a few passages, but we're going to read a few out of Romans. Chapter 5 of Romans, in the first few verses, says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work with patience. In patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And we're going to stop there a second. And up here, part of that being made redemption to us are the things that we have in that. And part of them, and one of them, being justified by faith, as we just saw, that God gives us. It says, therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see several other things, but that's one of the things that redemption brings to his people is a peace with God that cannot be gotten any other way. It's not gotten by believing the words of something. It has to be made that way to us. And as it says there in Corinthians, Christ has made those things to his people. He makes that. He makes that to be so. It's not just a time spent in the scripture or anywhere else that magically does that. But by his spirit, he reveals those things to us. Verse 9, going on a little bit in chapter 5. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That's the part that mostly comes out and people think of redemption is, I don't have to look to burning up in hell. That's part of it. That is something that we're pretty glad of too. I mean, that's not a light thing, but there's so much more than that that's revealed and made unto us when he is our Redeemer. That's just part of it. Verse 10, it says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom we have now received the atonement. So it goes on there, we're saved through his justified blood, saved from wrath through him being our Redeemer. And it says, we're reconciled to God, much more by his life. We are saved by his life, and that we are now received the atonement for sin. Sin has been put away from his people. We have peace with God, justified, saved from wrath, received the atonement. These are all, again, things that are, if we unfold what redemption is, it's such a big package. And then we're going to finish up the verse 12 and following on chapter 5 of Romans. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it were, as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And here, again, he speaks about the things that, as in Hebrews, about where sin entered into the world by one. And here it's an interesting thought in here that says the sin entered into the world by one man, by one act of sin, and put that on all. But the Adam from above, the true second Adam from above, he cleanses all his people from all their sins, manifold as they be. And it wasn't just one sin brought sin into the world. But, and as it's kind of saying here, we've kind of multiplied that of our own doing. We didn't just have a sample of fruit or whatever it may have been, and that we lived the life. And he says, one death of the right one takes care of multitude and all that, and to righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ. One more spot in Romans. While we're here, or we're nearby. In Romans chapter 8. And again, read these passages in their totality, because obviously we're taking a piece here and there from them. And I don't believe we're missing what's said there, but read these passages. It's important to see that. In Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And here, by the Spirit and putting life in his people, we should never die in that way. But and here, verse 15 is an important thought here. It says, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So in redemption, again, it's not we believe that he paid for our sins, but we're kind of apprehensive about where we stand with God. But here, as it says, it's not a spirit of bondage to fear, but to receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that we are placed in that. We're adopted into that. We just have no fear of God. The terror that death has for people is not knowing, or the fear of what's going to happen in the end. And as in redemption, and as it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things be so. That we have no terror of those things. We don't like the thought of death necessarily. I mean, that still is apprehensive to us. We have some apprehension about that, physically speaking, but not spiritually speaking. And then turn to the book of Hebrews one more time. There is a few places in Hebrews that are pretty good for God's people. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with the first verse, it says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it must Therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if it says Jesus, but Joshua speaking about, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. But verse here, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also seeth from his own works, as God did from his. And when Christ is made, as it says, made unto us redemption as our Redeemer, we enter into that rest that could not be given by Joshua or any the priests and stuff. They couldn't make that real to the people. The Spirit of God always had to reveal that and show him as Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And the Spirit revealed that to Job and to all his people. But here there is a rest, and it says, a rest that as he also that has ceased from his own works as God did. And we spoke about salvation based on works or based on Christ's righteousness and redemption to his people. And when God reveals that to us and by his Spirit reveals those things to us, we can rest. And we do rest. We enter into that. We don't have to figure out how to get there. I can remember in religion figuring out if you have this problem, how do you get from where you are to where I knew the plan of salvation and those words of that, but if it's not made real to you, you don't have the, it's not much of an answer until God reveals himself to us. And then we can enter, indeed, we can rest because we're done trying to get somewhere. It's based on Christ and all he has done for his people. So he has a rest. And then in chapter 6, and I'm gonna have to save some of this for next time, some of the thoughts I have. But Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So not only do we have that peace, but we have, as it says here, we have a hope. We have hope in him that is, and it's not a wish and I sure hope something's going to turn out right, but it's a hope. It's a hope based on we know our Redeemer. We know that who he is and how we stand, that we stand in him completely, and that as it says, he's entered in for us. And we have a hope of that, steadfast and sure, it says. And then, in Revelation, in just two short spots here, in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 1 of Revelation, verses 4 through 6, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And as it says here, grace to us from and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness to his people. And then in closing, Jude, the last couple verses of Jude, it says, verse 24, it says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And here he's the one that's able, it says, keep us. He'll keep us. And that's kind of not the end of the story, but the end of the thoughts here, that he's redemption, made our redemption. It's not just a simple doing something and there you go, but he sees it through to the end, and he will see his people through to the end. And in that way, he is made unto us, as it said, redemption. That's one of those things. And as happens about this time every Sunday morning, be free. Thank you. I hope I hit that button again to stop it. Mike, do I hit that button again to stop it?
On the round
mode button?
On the side.
Ah.